Okay, my first question might be, it might be kind of stupid. I don't know. You'll have to tell me. Do you tie the case depth measurements, whether it's total or effective, are those tied to either mathematically or otherwise to performance of a part?
What do you mean by mathematically? I want to make sure I understand the question.
So if I see something that says my total case depth is X, the reason why I spec for case depth of X is because why? Is it because...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, it's for specific mechanical properties. What are you looking for? Normally, when we case harden a part, it's wearing up against something or it needs to have a very high strength of the surface. So these are, everybody knows the parking brake in their car when they lift the little lever up and it goes click, 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 and everybody freaks out. Well, those are case hardened, so it has a nice hard wear resistant surface and you're not hurting anything. Mm-hmm. The gears in your transmission, if they rub against each other and you don't case harden them, they're not going to work real well. The teeth are just going to disappear. So when you look at case hardening, the vast majority of the time, you're looking for a hard wear-resistant surface and a quote-unquote soft ductile core. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of exceptions to those rules. So when I'm looking for, how do I tell the heat treater my design and the material properties I want? Okay, so total case depth by definition, if you want, I can send you the SAE standard. There's an SAE standard J423 that kind of outlines all this. But by definition, it's the perpendicular distance from the surface to where you can no longer distinguish a chemical difference between case and core. In other words, you cut a sample, you prepare it, you etch it with acid, you look at it under a microscope, and then you just measure the chemical. You're measuring a chemical change is what you're measuring.
Right.
Now, the design engineer has to figure out how much case depth he really needs to do the job that he needs to do. The effective case depth is you're not only measuring chemical difference, but you're measuring actual hardness difference. So in total case depth, I can put on, 0.5 millimeters, but that doesn't mean it's hard. That just means I made a chemical difference of 0.5 millimeters. Mm-hmm. When I do an effective case depth, I'm going in with a micro hardness tester and I'm measuring very small, minute areas of that case and what hardness gradient is. So I'm measuring both the difference between my chemical change and my transformation or my hardness change. Why do you pick one over the other? Well, generally you're going to look at total case depth if you're looking at a part that it just needs some wear resistance, and I'm not too terribly worried about it. You look at effective case depth, and you get the case on this part is vital, and this performance is vital to the performance of what we're doing. So gears are going to be effective case depth. The little ratchet on your parking brake is going to be total, because it just doesn't matter. You also pay more for effective case depth, because you actually have to do more preparation as well. So it's one of those things that you're not really going to ask for it unless you really need it.
I see. It sounds like from what you've just said that it actually doesn't matter the part's shape or cross-section so much as it matters what the part's going to do, what the intended finished use is going to be.
Absolutely. I cannot think of a single safety-critical part that we run that is total case depth. They're all effective because they want to make sure, hey, this case is critical to the performance of this part, and I don't want to just make sure that you've got the right chemical makeup. I want to make sure that it actually did its job and you achieved a particular hardness strength wear relationship.
So knowing that, and knowing that total case depth is more about a measuring the chemical change, what does that help you do? Like, it's wear resistant to an extent, but not like a safety critical item like a transmission gear.
So, yeah, I probably oversimplified that a little bit too much. Now, there's going to be two things that you're going to specify, minimum. Mm-hmm. You're going to specify a minimum surface hardness, and you're going to specify a minimum case depth, either total or effective. So even though if I put on my half a millimeter of case depth, I still have to achieve a decent surface hardness on it, and you will normally select a hardness scale. And as we select these different scales, they have different loads. So like a 15N scale, Rockwell 15N is 15 kilograms. An HRC reading is 150 kilograms. Mm-hmm. So I have to have more case harden out to support that HRC reading than I do the 15N. And you have to select the proper HRC 15N relationship. And I got something I'll send you on that too. And so a lot of times you will select a combination, like say for instance, I'll select an HR30N reading because I know I have to harden out a pretty decent percentage of my case depth in order to support that. Mm-hmm. So even though, you know, it's not as precise and it's not as, I absolutely know exactly what my effective case depth is, even when you specify total, having a surface hardness collide on it does give you some assurance that you're not only getting the chemical change, but you're also getting the hardness as well.
So I take that to mean that there are instances where you would get the chemical change and nothing else?
Yeah, and if that happened, then you would not achieve your surface hardness, so you're yeah. protected both ways.
In terms of effective case depth, it's measuring how far down until you reach a Rockwell hardness of 50 or something equivalent. Why is 50 the number?
We're weird people. One of our grandfathers said the 50 HRC, and actually there's some validity to it. There's a couple different ways to measure case depth. The way Grandpa used to do it is he would take his part that he case hardened, he'd stick it in a vise and smack it with a hammer and break it. And there's a change in the way the fracture occurs as the hardness drops into the part. Well, about the time that the fracture goes from a nice smooth fracture to kind of a rough fracture is about where HRC 50 occurs.
Okay.
So I think that that's kind of the basis for where people, you know, picked up, hey, I know that I have a change in my fracture about 50 HRC.